SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 14th of April, 2025. Later, we'll take a closer look at the future direction of gold as it continues to trade at near records. But we're going straight into the share market today because the S&P ASX 200 had a good start to the working week. The index up 1.3% to 7,748. That's on hopes of ongoing US tariff negotiations. And it comes as China's exports catapulted 12.4% in March, expanding its trade surplus to more than $100 billion as it looked to beat US import tariffs. So for more on that and the day's market news, I spoke with Raymond Chan, the head of the Asian retail desk at Morgan's.
The rally has been broad-based, spreading across sectors such as major banks, miners, healthcare, and property trust for a change. However, of course, there's notable weakness in, you know, some of the stocks, such as Macquarie Bank. There's a broker downgrade today. And some of the defensive stocks, such as, you know, Telstra, they're relatively weak. And some China-related stocks, such as, you know, A2Milk and Treasury Wine, that didn't go on as well, along with the rest of the market.
I guess one thing that continues to dominate markets and the way investors think is Donald Trump and the US import tariffs. So can we explore Donald Trump's strategy? Now, you reckon he's got three core objectives, right? Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, the Trump tend to focus on three core objectives. The number one is having a lower US dollars. Number two is pushing down the bond yield. And number three, ultimately laying the groundwork for success in the upcoming midterm election, that to be held in November 2026, so a year away. But so far, how are we going? I mean, how does the strategy is going? With the US dollars measured by the US dollars index, yeah, it did gone down from early January to the current level. So that seems to be working well. However, not with the bond yield. In a time of uncertainty, usually investors are buying up the U.S. Treasury bond, especially the 10-year bond. However, this time is different. In a time of uncertainty, the market sell off. The U.S. Treasury bond actually got sold down. So what it means is the yield actually gone up. So this is quite an interesting way to look at it. And of course, that attribute to three main concerns there being the uncertainty over the U.S. tariff, the U.S. government debt now reaching over 120% of the GDP, and finally, of course, some report of foreigners selling out of the U.S. treasury. That certainly add to the pressure. Finally, midterm election is still, you know, some months away. However, the latest consumer confidence numbers coming out from U.S. suggest, you know, the U.S. household seems to concern about the inflationary pressure from the latest policy, with the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index dropped to 2022 low.
Every day it would appear there's a new piece of information or a change. You know, we've got a pause on those so-called reciprocal tariffs. Another day, there's also a pause on computers or electrical products, right? How do you see all of this playing out?
We think the inflationary impact of the tariff will likely to be short-lived. Well, it seems to be a bit unbelievable at the moment with, you know, some country being placed with 145% tariff. However, a relevant historical comparison will be, you know, back to the old days when Australia introduced GST. That was back in the year 2000. There was a lot of concern, the business feeling uncertain. However, you know, what we find out is business have adopted I think the similar dynamic will play out. We think the current high tariff would likely be negotiated down because of after a number of negotiations. The other thing, of course, is we think the policy shift will likely to be continued because of the political pressure and as well as the economic pressure. The bond yield certainly is one of the concerns. Donald Trump certainly do not want the U.S. bond yield to shoot any higher than where we are today. So there's likely to be more negotiation. Finally, what we think will be important for the market will be the central bank. We have the ECB meeting this week. We have the federal FOMC meeting in early May. And of course, our very own Reserve Bank meeting in mid-May. They may signal more easing if the economy is facing the risk of uncertainty as well.
So, do you think we're coming to the end of this, or is the worst over, or do you think there's more downside to come?
We can't rule out further market uncertainty and weakness, sell-off. We can't control that. This is not what we can control. However, in terms of the indicator, we look for two key things in this market. Number one is the bond market. We want to see the U.S. bond market coming down. At the moment, it's not behaving what it's supposed to be behaving, i.e., in the time of uncertainty, we should see the U.S. bond go up, not going down. So we need to see a bit of calmness in the bond market. And what can calm the market, of course, is the Federal Reserve rate cut. The market, yes, of course, they're pricing the rate cut in June, but we can't rule out, Federal Reserve may coming out and announce rate cuts earlier in the May meeting. So definitely this is something to look at. A sizable, an outsized rate cut of 50 basis points will certainly calm the market and may see limited downside from there on.
I think we got some stats from China today showing that it had, in value terms, the largest export growth ever. Assuming that's to front load or to beat the US tariffs, right? But would it be fair to say that the biggest uncertainties with these tariffs is that relationship between the US and China, and what does it mean for Australia?
China is a big part of the global economy and our biggest trading partner. Yes, after the trade war number one back in 2018, China has actively reduced the percentage of export to US. So from more like over 22% of the US import from China, they have now cut down to below 14%. Still a significant number, but not as high. The way we look at China is they continue to provide, in fact, exporting disinflation to the rest of the world because of the cheap product they export to other country. However, there's certainly a lot of uncertainty at the moment between the two countries. We think currently with the tariff policy that they put in place for each other, that will make trades pretty much highly restrictive. So they won't be able to trade properly under the current terms. So we think there will be likely to be more negotiation down the way. And hopefully, we will continue to see that. In terms of China policy, I remain want to see what happen maybe potentially toward the end of the month if the China Politburo meeting will be held. Last year, it was held on the 27th of April, but this year it has yet to be confirmed. So I would like to see some of the policy or thinking behind the top officials from China as to what happened to the trade war.
And finally, what does this all mean for investors then, and what are you telling your clients?
Sure. It's two key things we're telling our client at the moment. Number one is be comfortable being uncomfortable this year. If we look back at the history, the stock market experienced correction. What I mean is a drop of 10% or more, 1.1 time per annum over the past 20 years. However, prior to the current correction, the market has gone over 340 days, 340 days without correction. So a longer than usual stretching of calm. We think now we're only back to the normal market. Volatility is normal part of investing. Importantly for investors is regularly review their portfolio, ensure the portfolio is aligned with their risk profile, and to seek professional advice when needed. Finally, early this year, the ASX 200, our Australian market, was trading at a forward earning of over 18 times, well above the historical average. Now, it's back near the historical average, about a bit over 16 times. The fair value for ASX 200 is around 7,700. So whenever ASX 200 drop below this fair value, we think that offers a good buying opportunity for the investor.
Raymond Chan there from Morgans. From the share market, let's go to gold, where gold continues to trade at a near record high at about 3,200 US. But today, a number of analysts have upgraded their gold price expectations. For more, Raina Bosch spoke with Clive Maguchu, a senior investment strategist at State Street Global Advisors.
So this really continues that trend of strong gold performance we've seen over the last 2 years, driven mainly by geopolitical uncertainty. And this year, that uncertainty certainly has stepped up. Quite a bit with the trade tensions picking up significantly. And gold has posted very strong performance year to date, up over 20% so far this year.
To what extent is gold kind of seen as a safer store of wealth?
Well, the volatility we've seen in markets over the last couple of weeks really has shown the value of having a safe haven store of value in your portfolio. And gold generally does provide some drawdown protection during equity market sell-offs. And because of its low correlation to other asset classes, it provides diversification investor portfolios. So, yeah, we see that gold performs well during times of uncertainty and increased recession risk. So in a lot of ways, gold is the ultimate safe haven asset and store of wealth.
Despite that, though, directly after we saw Trump impose his so-called reciprocal tariffs, there was a slight sell-off in gold. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, we saw equity markets down well in excess of 10% in some cases, but we only saw about a 4.5% drop in the price of gold on the announcement of these tariffs. So there were really a couple of reasons why gold was caught up in this sell-off. So firstly, the sell-off was quite indiscriminate on the announcement of these tariffs as investors really sought liquidity wherever they could get it and trying to reduce market exposure however they could. And secondly, we've seen that gold price really increase significantly since the start of this year. So there was a little bit of profit taking from investors as well, factoring into some of that sell-off. But in the last couple of days, what we have seen is as things got clearer and investors adjusted to this new level of uncertainty, the gold price has picked up again. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we have breached that $3,200 level since then.
Another key beneficiary of this increase has been the gold miners. Now, we have seen varying degrees of kind of benefit there in terms of their percentage increases. Yeah. But can you just kind of explain the relationship between the gold price and miners?
Yeah. Generally, what we've seen over the last few years is that gold miners have lagged the general price appreciation that we've seen in the gold price. And there's a few reasons for that. I mean, the first and most obvious one is that when you buy gold mining shares, you're actually exposed to the operations of those specific gold mining companies, and they may not necessarily be positioned well enough to benefit from that price appreciation that we see in the price of physical gold. So what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is investors really have noticed that disconnect between where the gold price is trading and how some of these gold miners, particularly the better run ones, have been lagging that price appreciation, and investors looking for another way to benefit from this higher gold price. But in general, what we'd recommend is that investors seek the most pure allocation to gold price appreciation, which is through ETFs and mutual funds that are physically backed by gold.
Finally, Clive, in terms of forecasts, I mean, we've seen everything on the scale of very extreme to pretty condensed and laid back here. Where do you see the gold price going over the next, say, year?
Yes, we've actually been a little bit surprised by how strong the gold performance has been year to date. I mean, we are still quite bullish on the outlook for gold, and we recently upgraded our year-end forecast and have a bull case that could see gold going all the way above the $3,400 level. And we're giving this scenario probably about a 40% chance. And in terms of what's driving that increased forecast, it's really quite obvious. It's that increased uncertainty around U.S. trade policy and the impact that could have on the U.S. economy and the global economy in terms of recession or stagflation risk. And we've seen increased investor demand as well. We're seeing record flows in ETFs and other segments of the gold market that will continue to drive that the demand for gold through this year. So yeah, we're quite bullish on the outlook for gold for the rest of this year.
That's Miranda Bosch there speaking with Clive Magouchou from State Street Global Advisors. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.